This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:05 in the evening, and earlier we were talking about fresh graduates and how there's been a common misconception that they're either too choosy when it comes to their jobs or that they ask for too much salary. And we wanted to know your experience, whether or not you are that fresh grad who's looking for a job or you are the person on the other side of the table interviewing them. You can WhatsApp us with your thoughts and experiences at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We have received a few messages here. One from Junkit saying, I'm an experienced worker myself, but the common issue lies with certain HR setting a range of salary based on your age. Some of them were shocked when they learned how much I'm earning when I first joined the workforce, saying you don't deserve such a salary range for your age. Luckily, other companies saw value in me and gave me good offers. The number of years of experience does not directly mean you will be good in what you're doing. Someone might just do a better job than you with less working experience.
That's something I agree with also, because you could be doing, you could have in your CV put like, I have 10 years of working in IT, but if you don't achieve much in those 10 years, it really doesn't mean much at all. And your salary should reflect your achievements and what you've done and your skill set. It doesn't necessarily mean that just because you've worked X amount of years, okay, well, maybe just a bit, you know, you do want that increase of salary as the longer you work. But I think at the end of the day, what should dictate that perhaps should be your, you know, what you've done.
It should be your value, I think. I mean, yeah. It's not only what you've done, because sometimes you may not have an awful lot of experience, but you may have a skill set, as you say, that might make you the right fit. It may be that your education makes you a good fit. There are lots of things that factor into it that I think when it comes to putting things in boxes in terms of age, it just doesn't account for everything. Raymond says, I remember in the 80s, a bowl of noodles cost 1 ringgit 80 cent to 2.50 while starting salary was 1.8k to 2.5k. Fast forward to the present, a bowl of noodles costs three times more while the starting salary remains the same. And that is something that's reflected in our earlier messages as well. The fact that the starting salary hasn't changed an awful lot, which is why perhaps when people come asking for a larger number, there is that sense of, hey, not cool. Anyway, keep those messages coming. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. For our next story, Human Resources Minister M. Kulasekaran has said that the Workmen's Compensation Act 1952 will be abolished in order to ensure that local and foreign workers in the country get equal protection.
He added that the move was in line with the government's commitment to enhance protection for foreign workers who currently come under the Foreign Workers Compensation Scheme under the Act. Foreign workers will be given SOCSO from January 1st next year, and abolishing the Act would facilitate the SOCSO protection scheme for foreign workers. This then leads to a more efficient protection control system.
I hope that we don't have to debate over whether or not foreign workers need more protection. I know that when we speak about foreign workers in general discourse, there seems to be a divide between whether or not people consider them a vulnerable segment of society or whether or not people consider them competition for local workers. And I think very often those two things are equal. They are one and the same. And that just because they do represent competition, it doesn't mean that they don't also need protection from an awful lot of unfair treatments that they face.
And really, it's not their fault, right? It's employers who want to pay only X amount of salary. The faults are easily pointed to them because they, of course, the most visible. But you don't see management of these maybe construction firms being attacked in that way, I guess.
And so it would seem that this is more about getting the numbers down as well. They will have better, the government that is, will have better data, knowing in immediate terms the number of foreign workers, the jobs and sectors they're in, information about their employers and the companies that they work for. And that will then allow them to know whether or not employers are making the necessary contributions. And if not, then the immigration department can look for them and take necessary action. So all good news on balance. Joining us on the line now is Joseph Paul from Tanaganita. Joseph, thanks for being with us. Talk to us about the Workers' Compensation Act and how well it's fared in terms of providing protection to foreign workers.
The Foreign Workers' Compensation Scheme insurance is what is currently in force, right, which provides for a certain amount of social security, if I may use that word, may not be the best term, to provide some kind of compensation actually for workers who may be injured or who may die in the course of their work. So to a limited extent, that has been useful because in the absence of anything else. But the amounts that the workers were compensated, for example, if they died in the course of their work, they were entitled, I think it's about 25,000. That is the value of the worker's life. Or if it is after work, there's a slightly lower amount, 23,000. And if they are totally disabled, you get a maximum of 23,000 and so on. So to some extent, it is better than nothing. But definitely, it could be better. And the SOCSO, as it is operational now, offers a much better scheme for compensation as well for social security. That is why we have always maintained that the foreign workers have been discriminated against, treated differently from the local workers, and it is not fair. So therefore, we do welcome the move by the government to place all these workers, irrespective of whether local or foreigners, under the SOCSO scheme.
What do you think about the government's plan to abolish the Act? Would it guarantee equal protection to foreign workers?
Well, I do not know what are the implications of cancelling the Act itself, whether that would mean that there are groups of people who may not be covered at all. Perhaps there may be some errant employers who may not have taken this insurance and covered themselves. And then if the Act is abolished, it could be that they are not liable for any kind of compensation. But that's an area that I haven't thought it through. I need to get legal opinion on that. But what we look forward to is the equal treatment of the foreign workers together with the local workers under the same scheme. Whether it's necessary to abolish that Workmen's Compensation Act 1952, I think, is something that I really cannot comment on at this point in time.
Do you have any sense of how this announcement will be received by employers?
Well, most employers claim that they have the interests of the workers at heart, and anyway, they are buying insurance. They have to buy insurance, compensation insurance, for their foreign workers. So it's a matter of transferring the money that they're paying to these insurance companies to the SOCSO scheme itself. You know? And I do not know it's going to be very much different. The employers should not really be complaining too much about it. In terms of the mechanics or the bureaucracy, that may be a different issue altogether, whether the workers who become injured or who die, whether the paperwork and the procedures and processes are efficient so that they get the compensation promptly. That's a different issue which needs to be sorted out, I suppose. But in general, I would think that the employers should not be complaining too much. We should welcome it, in fact.
So would integrating foreign workers into SOCSO be the best first steps for the government to take?
Yes, it's the whole idea, isn't it? I mean, the minister also said, that now we are moving towards this parity of treatment between local and migrant workers, that therefore it should not just be an appearance, but in full reality. And that means they needed to be accorded equal treatment. And placing them all under the same scheme is supposedly way of doing that. However, from what I understand, I hope I'm wrong, is that there are two important elements of the SOCSO scheme which does not cover the foreign workers. One is the dependents, benefit for dependents. If the employer dies, then there is no any kind of compensation or benefits given to the dependents, which is a major gap in this kind of protection, because young people come here to work and they die and then that's it. The other is, if the worker becomes totally and permanently disabled, under the SOCSO scheme, there is a provision for some kind of pension, which the foreign worker will not be entitled to, the way I understood so far. The details are not very clear, but the little bit of details that has come through seems to indicate this. And these are two areas that need to be addressed. Otherwise, you cannot really claim or say that they are being treated equally as the local workers. The other area of concern, or that something that needs to be thought through, is who really would be responsible for making this OPSO premium payments. Because from our experience, we noticed there are a number of companies which are using outsourced labor. You know, I understand that it is not legal anymore, but the reality is there are many companies that do have workers who are kind of contract workers. We have to make sure that these OPSO payments are also taken care of by whoever is responsible for them. That's an area that I would like to highlight so that the Human Resource Ministry would actually pay attention to this.
Joseph, thank you very much for weighing in. That was Joseph Paul from Tanaganita. We also still have messages coming in from our earlier discussion about fresh grads, whether or not it is a misconception that they are choosy about that first job, whether or not they demand overly high salaries. Jonathan says, I genuinely feel that most Gen Y do not value the privilege of having a job. Hence, they believe they're entitled to some sort of high pay bracket, which is unreasonable. I feel that the first 5 years of a person's career I feel that the first 5 years of a person's career is about absorbing as much knowledge as possible. So rather than focusing on the good salary package, focus on finding a great mentor who will mold you into a valuable commodity. And I think that that is great career advice, provided you have the time and space in which to take it. While there might be a sense of unappreciativeness coming out of people who are in a job just for the sake of having a job, I think sometimes people are in jobs they don't like everyone else sometimes, to pay bills because they need money to eat, to survive. And yes, perhaps that doesn't come with as much gratitude as there should be, but there is an argument to be made that if you are hired in a company and you are doing a good job, you don't also then owe the company more gratitude. It's a transactional situation. You do your work and you get paid.
And also, why can't we just have both? Why can't we just have like good enough pay and also a great mentor? I don't think it's too much to ask, really.
It isn't, but I think just like before, luck plays such a huge role in this. And also how lucky you are in terms of having the time to figure it out. I don't think everyone else gets that time. You know, there are some people who I'm sure were forced to, not forced to, nobody's forcing you to do anything, but were put into positions where they had to accept jobs because, you know what, bills need to be paid, even if it's not an ideal situation where you get the mentor. So I do think, like with anything else, planning factors so deeply. And Sayo Yang says, I would think that a lot of issues in the world are inflated with the emergence of the internet. The behavior that millennials are showing when looking for jobs is more easily propagated in our current time period than 20 years ago. And the negative stories tend to stick longer than the positive ones. I'm sure every generation has had their share of hard workers and lazy workers. As with the increase in human population, stories will undoubtedly increase as well. A good example here is the quote-unquote rise of autism, when in fact it's because it's due to the emergence of better diagnostic processes and also the increase in the human population, which I think is an excellent point. We are going to be headed to more music now, but keep it here on the Evening Edition and keep your messages coming. That number to WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.